It's a brand new year and a popular time to set personal goals for the weeks and months ahead. Losing weight and getting in better physical shape are common resolutions. And if somebody just got you a new fitness tracker, well, you're ready to go. But there are some things you need to understand about how those things work. They may not be as helpful as you think they are, and they might not be right for you. Lisa Cadmus-Bertram is an associate professor of kinesiology at UW-Madison. She's also co-leader of the Cancer Prevention and Control Program at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. Her areas of interest include physical activity and sedentary behavior and mobile technologies to promote health. Lisa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good afternoon. It's great to be with you.
What do you see as the optimal use? If somebody has that fitness tracker, what is the best case scenario?
Fitness trackers are really great for people who want to get more awareness about their current physical activity level and those who want to increase their physical activity level, particularly for people who do the most common types of physical activity that, you know, are walking, jogging, cycling, types of activities that activity trackers can pick up well.
Do you see downsides? Do they motivate us in the wrong way sometimes?
Absolutely. So one of the downsides of fitness trackers is that they can exacerbate tendencies that some people have. So if you have had experiences in the past where you have been prone to things like disordered eating behaviors or compulsive exercise, you know, fitness trackers are similar to scales and diet tracking apps and all those other tools in that they can motivate us in really healthy ways. But there are a small proportion of people who might find those types of tools to be something that might trigger unhealthy tendencies. So we all have heard stories of people who can kind of become a little too obsessed with the tracker or letting their success with exercise or with diet tracking on any given day sort of dictate how the rest of their day goes. So certainly if you've had any of those experiences in the past, that might be something to watch out for and, you know, consider whether a fitness tracker, you know, might or might not be the best tool for you.
Let's stay with people in that situation. What might you recommend instead of a fitness tracker so that, you know, they still want to get decent, healthy physical activity, but without that obsessive risk, that addictive risk you were talking about?
Yeah, those are individuals for whom, you know, a more laid back or intuitive approach can tend to be the healthiest. So from a public health perspective, we're used to dealing with the majority of the population are people who can really benefit from more activity, who can really benefit from a deeper understanding of their activity patterns. For the people on the other end of the spectrum, sometimes more data is not necessarily going to be helpful. So these tend to be people who are already very health literate, already pretty vigilant about those types of behaviors. So then really just focusing on less data gathering, less monitoring can be really helpful, and really getting people to dial in and think about what types of activity they enjoy and really bring them, you know, peace, you know, might be getting back into nature, but really kind of focusing on some of those more emotional aspects of activity rather than the numbers can be beneficial.
Now, I'm in that bigger group. I think that you mentioned, Lisa, sedentary job. Many of my recreational activities involve sitting or standing in one place. I have found a fitness tracker makes me get up and walk around, go out for a walk more. How can somebody, the lazy person in my situation, make the best use of that fitness tracker?
Absolutely. So we recommend that people just wear the tracker for about a week to get a baseline sense of how active they are. A lot of times we're all so busy that we might feel really tired at the end of the day and we kind of think, oh, I'm a super active person, I'm always on the go. But being really busy doesn't necessarily translate to getting the exercise that we really need to get in order to feel our best. So kind of getting that initial assessment is a really important first step, and then setting some goals. And we encourage people to, you know, try to avoid the trap of getting distracted by all the different types of goals that you can set and really focus on one thing. So maybe just focusing on steps or just focusing on accumulating, you know, minutes of physical activity per week, and to set goals over the short period of time. So January is a time when people tend to set long-term vague goals, like I will exercise more this year. When really a more helpful goal is to set a goal like I will walk for 20 minutes after dinner, Monday through Friday of this week. So setting goals that are very specific and over a short time frame.
As we wrap up, Lisa, with or without a fitness tracker, it seems like the key here is motivation to keep going with exercise. Can you leave us with some encouragement to motivate us to keep doing something?
Absolutely. Well, oftentimes when we talk about exercise, we talk about long-term benefits, like reducing your risk of cardiovascular disease or cancer or diabetes, when often the way our brains work is that often we're more motivated by the short term. So sometimes we encourage people who are looking for that motivation to really focus in on the benefits that you're going to get right away, that it's going to help you let go of your work stress. It's going to help you feel more energetic, more relaxed, and kind of focus on those immediate benefits that you can get from getting up and getting out there.
Lisa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Lisa Cadmus-Bertram is an associate professor of kinesiology at UW-Madison. We talked to her today about the pros and cons of fitness trackers.